Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton. John Osher. Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good Monday morning to you. Time for Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter. I'm Brian Sexton along with John Osher. That's home. We're here today, but we're gone again next Sunday. Jags dropping the second of a three-game away from Everbank Field streak. And it's one that, it's got me thinking about, you remember the little guy from Fantasy Island? Righty. They bring the plane in. This is a 70s show, Ashlyn, but they bring the plane in. He says, smiles, everyone smiles.
Well, I think
you're going to need that today.
I think
today.
You're mixing it up. There was Tattoo.
That's right.
It was Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so, come on now.
It's that kind of a
Be
Monday
better
morning.
Than that on a Monday.
I'm trying. Right. I'm trying. But smiles, everybody. Smiles. This is one that is going to be painful all season long. And maybe into January if the Jaguars are in the playoff race and they have to look back at when they let get away.
Well, as I was coming in this morning, I was thinking, you know, you're sad, but you can't be mad. Meaning, I think this is what this team is right now.
Yeah.
And you wish they were better. You wish the quarterback was further along. You wish you had a lead play out of that position. You wish they weren't still a young defense that is learning each other. And it's most of what happened yesterday was gap control, which is what you're going to have when guys are getting out of position. So you wish they were beyond this. But considering where they're coming from, 3-13, considering that they've won two games. I think this can be what the season is. You wish it was better, but it's not.
And there's so much we've got to talk about. And we're going to get to Ashlyn in just a moment. But a coach last night said to me as I was standing in the back of the plane, "Have you ever
get out
seen,
of my way?"
Well, besides, No, that's my Snickers.
Right.
Have you ever seen a game like that? A game where it felt like it went back and forth and back and forth. And just when you think they're going to lose, there's an opportunity to win, and in the end, it all falls apart. And I said no. I thought I was going to see a tie, to be honest with you. I was going to see the first tie I'd ever covered.
And that's what it was. I had the tie written when the Jags had the Jets down and backed up and looked like the Jags were going to get the ball around the 25. But then as soon as the ball went over Marquise's head or off his fingers, whatever it did, and it got backed up, then you knew at that point nothing added up that was good for the Jaguars.
And so it's time to bring in Ashlyn Sullivan with this week's big things. And yeah, on Friday you were wearing white. You're bright, vivacious, excited about the weekend. Monday you're wearing black.
I know,
guess you're
fitting,
in mourning from it yesterday. Yeah. Just Monday for you, huh?
Exactly. Well, first big thing. So yesterday, a lot of weird things happened to this team that don't normally happen. And a perfect example of that is Paul Posluszny's unsportsmanlike call. Leader on defense, captain of this team for multiple seasons. That unsportsmanlike call put them in field goal range, guys. I'm sure he was pretty disappointed about that.
You know, it was just a strange game from the very beginning. You mentioned off the top, and here's where it starts. Elite play from the quarterback position, right? Boy, I thought on the first drive, they were going to have some of that. Maybe he was going to be consistent.
It felt like the last week was just sort of flowing right into the game.
Oh, yeah.
And it what was disappointing was it feels like if they had touched Powell down, that the Jaguars probably win that game.
Going away.
Yeah, because it was just flowing that direction. But then all of a sudden, and I said on the pregame show yesterday, I said all last week, it was a dangerous game because you're playing a team that doesn't think they're bad yet. I think at some point, the Jets, if all predictions go right, are going to reach a point where the season's over and it's a mess and it's not good. But right now they're 1-2, and they made a big play last week or two to beat Miami. So all of a sudden, they go from getting run on the first drive to a big play. Well, now it feels to them again like the last week all of a sudden. So that play let them off the mat. And now, certainly the Jaguars had more than enough chances after that. The offense went stagnant. All those things happened. But it felt like the team didn't handle adversity through much of the game yesterday.
I just started making stars on the plane ride home last night next to weird plays. So they're down 20-10 at the end of the third quarter. But first and 10 at the Jaguars 36, Bortles goes for 27 yards, right?
Right.
So they get down here to the 37, but it's 1, 2, 3, and out.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Myers missed the 52-yard field goal, okay, first part of the fourth quarter. And then third down at 7, Jets hit their 45, McCown hits Ryan Anderson for 41 yards, and right. I thought, okay, they're at the Jags 14. They're at least going to go up 13 points.
The game was over at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, game is over. And then, for no reason, they throw a lateral.
Right.
Who throws a lateral in that situation? Why
Jets.
Do you take...
The Jets do.
Yeah, right. Stupid play. Right. Stupid play. Heads up to Miles Jack. I was standing right in front of him on the sideline. A lot of guys would have just grabbed the ball and kind of walked away. He picked it up and went 81 yards for the touchdown. I'm telling you, most guys probably just kind of grab it and go. He didn't. So all of a sudden, you're back in the game. Go to the two-minute warning. First and 10 at the Jets' 23-yard line. And the 23-yard touchdown pass to Leonard Fournette's called back with a penalty on Aurelius Bennett.
An odd penalty, a penalty that perhaps could have not been called.
How about first and goal at the 6, incomplete to Ivory, short pass to Hearns, and incomplete to Lewis. Where's Leonard Fournette?
Well, the explanation was that everything about the Jets told you that they were a run blitz, load the box team at that point. There is a situational thing with running where if that's what they're running and you're running into the teeth of that, then you know you can have Riggins and Jim Brown and in their primes, and you don't just run into that. As it turned out, they said that's not what the Jets did there, so running might have worked. But you know, and that's why it's tough to just hammer play calling in all these situations, because you are doing things based on what you saw on film. The first touchdown they scored, they anticipated run blitz. They got outside of it. They got a 10-yard pass, and it scored. So worked in the first quarter, didn't work in the second quarter, in the fourth quarter.
And I'm not necessarily going play calling was bad.
I hear
you. Just saying, you know, this is a guy who, as you wrote, was a key element to the entire offense. I mean, it really looks like he's grabbing control of this thing.
He's the guy.
And first and goal at the 6-yard line, you expect to see it. Just one more thing. The Jaguars flipped the field in overtime. They had them push back and back. They couldn't do much with it. The play of the game, as far as I'm concerned, was the 70-yard punt.
Oh, that question.
They had it flipped. The field was completely flipped. And at that point, the guy lets loose with a punt of his life.
They had
and
flipped
that won the
it
game.
And then pinned it. And you know, I got an email from somebody last night saying, why didn't they kick the 60-yard field goal? The Jaguars
he missed from 52?
Well, he's got
badly
the leg to
missed
do
from
it.
52.
Right. So you could see the argument there. At the same time, at that point in the game, you're playing clock, you're playing percentages, you're playing feel. And the you know, at that point, the defense had been getting the Jets off the field, and you felt like, okay, this is a high-risk field goal that if we miss, you're giving them the ball with about a 25-yard field to go score. Well, better to punt. I mean, it played out exactly like I thought it would, except the punt was long and wide, so it was actually a longer punt in the air than you would have expected. Marquise misplayed it; it bounced and
penalty pinned him. And
penalty. I mean, as a coach, I don't think you sit there on the sidelines and think, "Okay, this play here is going to be a 70-yard flip."
No,
it's just
no.
It's an outlier that happened
again. The weird part of Sunday, the outlier.
And I wrote that they only it was a 2-1 turnover game, Jaguars with the edge, but that play was a turnover.
You're absolutely right. Back to Ashland for more of big things here on Jags Drive Time on a Monday morning.
Yeah, Ashland? Second big thing. Do we blame Blake for this loss? And I think we have to be honest with ourselves and say that he was a factor. I mean, he went from being a superhero in London to throwing 4 touchdowns to going 15 of 35 yesterday. But I do think if Marquise Lee catches that first down in his chest, are we talking about him not being effective?
Probably we're glossing over it.
It's maybe not as big a thing.
Right. The batted pass that was intercepted by Coney Ealy. First of all, here's the interesting part. If Marquise catches the ball and the Jaguars win the game, then we can point to two game-winning plays that Bortles made. That was third down, right? That was one, and then tackling Coney Ealy and keeping him out of the end zone and giving the Jaguars a chance to kick the game-winning field goal. We're talking about him making game-winning plays. Instead, we're talking about he threw another batted pass that was intercepted.
Well, and just too many of those, though. I mean, the batted pass, I thought in that position, it's tough, but I never played quarterback. I can't sit there and say exactly why you do it. But there's a lot of situations where his field awareness on plays like that, you know, that ball, that play probably shouldn't have been made in the first place. So that gets frustrating after a while. And 15 to 35, there were a few drops. But 15 to 35, the stretch midway through the first half.
No, right where you're talking.
Where it was flowing on the first drive. And then all of a sudden, it looked like
missing to Mercedes.
They were just learning the passing game.
Missing to Keelan Cole. Missing badly.
Right. And that's where it, when you have an efficient, high-functioning quarterback, that's where all of a sudden you're up 17-10 at the half. Instead of being tied and instead of going into a clunky second half.
See, and there's the confusion because the guy we watched last week and the guy that we watched in the first drive didn't look like that.
Right.
I mean, he was sharp. I couldn't tell if there was a moment, if there was a play.
Oh, in your mouth formed to say why. I thought you were going to ask me why does it happen. I was going to say, well, you tell me.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's the $1 million
mystery.
Why does
the earth revolve around the sun?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought most of last year that the accuracy stuff was a little overblown and perhaps paled in comparison to the decision-making on Blake's part and the pocket presence. I think this year the decision-making, for the most part, I think has been okay. I think within Hackett's offense, Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator, he's making decent decisions. He seems to be running when Nate wants him to run. But yesterday there were 6, 7, 8 passes that just looked like you weren't sure what receiver he was going to. That's disturbing.
All right, we got another big thing to share with you, Ozone Snapshot. Plenty more to come here on Jags Drive Time on a Monday morning following the overtime loss to the Jets. We're at Everbank Field, and you can join us.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Okay. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time, our third and final big thing. It's a big one. The Jags now have to go to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers this week, and they have a running back by the name Le'Veon Bell. He ran for 144 yards and 2 touchdowns yesterday. Now, Barry Church said after the game yesterday, they have to fix those huge running gap defensive holds. And guys, they've got to figure it out pretty quick.
You know, here's time for a quick story. And you and I have had this several times. Mm-hmm. The Colts came here in 2006, their Super Bowl season, in December, if folks have forgotten. And the Jaguars ran over them. Fred and Maurice combined for 375 yards. And I went down to Tony Dungy's press conference after the game because I wanted to hear how he was going to explain such a good team with such a bad defense. And he calmly stood there and said, "We'll fix it. It's a couple of tweaks here and there. No big deal." Now, he's always been calm. You know him well. But I was stunned at how calm he was that day. But he was right. They fixed it. And they played exceptionally well, especially in run defense, on their way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they got Bob Sanders back, too, which helped. But, I mean, there was some calmness in the fact they knew they were getting the best safety in the league back. But to your point, this game yesterday felt a little like that to me. And I covered both of them, obviously. Obviously, they're last in the league in run defense, the Jaguars. So, obviously, there's something there. But a lot of the early run yards in the first few games were end-of-the-game run yards. It didn't feel like they were getting gashed in those games.
No.
They got gashed yesterday. But as Doug said after the game, and Doug is very calm, but he immediately said, look, it's not a secret. We're a single high safety gap control defense. In that scheme, when you get out of your lanes, and Doug sort of swayed around his answer a little bit, but it sounded like he was saying, two or three guys were jumping in one gap trying to make a big play. It is the prototypical thing that happens to a gap control defense when they give up a lot of yards. Everybody's got their gaps. Everybody jumps over here. The back cuts back, and he goes for a touchdown, which was the McGuire touchdown.
Well, and it happened, if you recall, the 30-yard run that Bilal Powell had in the second quarter that set up their game-tying field goal.
It was vintage.
I couldn't see who Todd Walsh was yelling at, but I was standing there, and he just couldn't believe. Are you kidding me?
Right.
There may have been an adjective thrown in there also. Are you kidding me?
Right.
It was such a simple move. And the player jumped into the gap, whichever one it was. And I don't want to say who I think it was because it might not be that person. But, I mean, it was so basic.
It is a simple thing where I'll write a story on it this week. And I can already tell
you
the quotes. It will be, we need to do our job. It's not a talent thing. It's an execution thing. And it's a matter of everybody doing their job and not trying to do the other guy's job. Because what happens is a guy sees it. He sees the running back go one way, and then they jump at the running back thinking they're going to make a play rather than staying in their gap and trusting the guy to the left of them to go ahead and make the play they're going to make. If they run the defense and if they do their jobs, it's a relatively simple fix, and it's possible you see them shut down. I'm not going to say shut down Le'Veon Bell because he's special.
Well, you better be ready to shut him down.
But, it's not going to add up where all of a sudden you multiply 256 times the Le'Veon Bell factor and you get 450 yards rushing next week.
And I think the reason that Ashlyn mentioned Bell is because you're talking about a guy who yesterday went for 144 yards on 35 carries. Mm-hmm. I mean, 35 carries is a honking boatload, right?
A honking
boatload. Honking boatload.
We now have a new term.
I was trying to use one of those terms I heard on the sideline yesterday, but in a different
maybe that
way.
Was the adjective.
I think it probably was along those lines. It's huge. 35 carries.
Yeah.
And he's a big dude now. He's 240 pounds. He's like Fournette. So you get 35 carries.
Right.
Oh, I mean, it's
he
a really long
He runs a little different
day.
Than Fournette, though, in the sense that Leonard seems to run looking forward to the first hit. And Le'Veon runs, as a lot of people know, very calmly, very avoid contact. He can initiate the contact when he must, but he doesn't seem to put as much strain and impact on his body with the running as Fournette does. I think that's the reason you're not seeing Fournette get 35 carries. I think he'd be worn out by week three.
Well, and so you know what you're going to see next week. You better fix it.
Yeah.
This week. You better get back to those basics. Guys who are talking to you in the locker room for the story that, by the way, I will read.
And it'll be pretty good.
No doubt.
All right.
No doubt. I'm looking forward to it. What day is it coming?
I'm not sure. Okay. I probably won't even
write. Will you let
now.
Me know?
Right. I'm burnt out on it at this point.
But those guys better be ready. They better get back to the basics and fix it this week. Because the Steelers would love to just take the air out of the ball. That's what they do. And run.
But the good news is, if you're looking for hope on that front as a Jaguars fan, is anybody who's been around football and the gap defense will tell you that as counterintuitive as it sounds when you see guys running for 35-yard gains, it is rarely a very hard fix if the players just get back to what they're supposed to do.
All right, when we come back, Ozone Snapshot, some of the questions that John got overnight, some that he might expect to get, and we have to talk about a defense that at least gave the Jaguars a chance in the fourth quarter with two dramatic takeaways. We're back after this on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daily's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Everbanks Field. Nice. I almost said stadium because I was thinking MetLife Stadium from yesterday. Everbank Field. Calm this morning. I imagine there's going to be some energy in the meeting rooms today.
Should be.
Yeah. No doubt. All right. Time now for Ozone Snapshot. Some of the questions that O's getting here as he's getting ready to start on a Monday morning. And Ashlyn, you've been reading. What do you see?
Yes, they're always entertaining on Monday morning, but we do have some positives, which is good. We're starting with a bit of a negative, though. And, John, it's kind of more so an explanation for you. Grant from Florida. First and goal, touchdown wins it. Bortles is playing like Bortles. And you throw it three times, all caps, in shotgun. Work your voodoo and make me think that wasn't terrible play calling, John.
Well, it's always bad play calling when you don't score.
When the play doesn't work.
I guess what I come back to is, so far this season, they've had some success in first, second, third, short yard situations. But a lot of that success has come from throwing to the backs, out of the backfield, anticipating a run blitz, heavy stop the run type play. That's what they anticipated from the Jets. That's why they called three passes. If they had anticipated the Jets, they expected to play the Jaguars like the Jaguars were supposedly playing coming in, meaning Fournette with the big run it up, Chris Ivory. They expected the Jets to try to stop that, so they tried to go the other way. And, you know, some days you eat the bear, some days the bear eats you.
Yesterday the bear won.
Yeah, I mean, as I wrote this morning, Jets won it. I mean, that's why they won it. Should they have run Fournette in that situation? In retrospect, yes.
Once.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're also first and goal on the six. So in their thinking, okay, we run Fournette once into the teeth of a run zone blitz, and now we're looking at second and eight. Well, second and eight for Blake's obvious passing situation, and you don't want him in that. So you're almost in no man's land because right now it's tough to trust Blake in that spot.
Well, and I've said this for years. A good play is one that works. A bad play is one that doesn't. It's not like these guys are just flipping the coin and saying, what should we do here? They've figured out what their game plan is based on the Jets' tendencies.
I've always, you know, it's tough to break down play calling right, wrong, because you don't know what went into it. It was clear yesterday in hearing Blake and Doug talk about it that at least they were both on the same page as to exactly why they ran those plays.
Right.
And it was because they expected the Jets to be in full out. Their run blitz team is what they both said, I believe. And that meant they were going to have a lot of guys in the box and compound that with run blitz. And, you know, it backfired.
You're going to get this question a lot today. Tomorrow?
Yeah.
60% of the questions in the zone?
For play calling?
Well, for that in particular, first and goal from the six and not even one touch for Fournette.
Well, 60% would mean – no, because 80% of it is we hate the quarterback. That's what you always get after a loss.
No doubt.
That's the nature of the beast.
Ashton, what else is in the Ozone Snapshot this morning?
We got one from Eric all the way up in Richmond, Virginia, and he's pretty positive this morning. We are 2-2, and that is exactly the team we're supposed to be a quarter into the season. It's time to start making tough decisions with our lineup, and we are still in the thick of it. This thing is just getting started. Go Jags.
Well, I think there's some truth to part of that. 2-2, and if you look around the league right now, as is often the case, the league's a mess. I mean, Jags are tied with the Patriots.
Tied with the Raiders.
Right. So, and tied for first, you know, in a division where I tweeted out last night, but Titans have beat the Jaguars by double digits. The Jaguars have beaten the Texans by double digits, and the Texans have beaten the Titans by double digits. So, you know, it all kind of starts now. It's discouraging for this team right now because you just saw them blow a game that they should have won. But tough decisions with the lineup. This is a lineup. I mean, this is what they're going with. There's really not that many tough decisions to make. These players have to get better. They have to play better in situations. But I'm not sure there's that many major decisions to make. And if you're talking about the quarterback, this is the guy they're going forward with.
Right.
And you saw it against Baltimore, why? The ability to make plays. He's the best quarterback on the roster, whether you like that or not, and he's going to be the guy going forward.
If I had said 2-2 to you before the season started, would you have taken that?
Absolutely.
Would that have been a win?
Well,
or are we looking at it through it could have been
3-1? 7-8 win team.
Okay.
And I think this is how the season's going to play out. I was surprised they beat the Texans the way they did. I wasn't surprised they lost to Tennessee. So, yeah, 2-2 out of this mix you've been happy with. The reason you're not happy is because 3-1 was so darn attainable.
Let's go back and talk about the defense a little bit, because we talked about their shortcomings in the run. 5 sacks yesterday. Mm-hmm. And at one point, the sacks pushed the Jets back from a game-tying field goal. I'm sorry, game-leading field goal.
Right.
In the end of the second quarter, it was sack. I mean, it strip sacked at the end of the game, mm-hmm. where they, if the ball had bounced just slightly their way, they would have been able to recover the fumble and kick a long field goal to win the game in regulation. The defense struggled against the run. But how about 2 fourth-quarter takeaways? We mentioned Miles Jack. The diving interception that A.J. Boye made was sensational.
It again showed you why when this team gets leads this year, and I'm not talking about a 7-0 lead in the first quarter, but when they get a lead in the second half, it's going to be tough to beat, because its liability seems to be it's not an incredibly large defensive front. I don't think it's going to be a great run-stopping front. I think it'll be better than 256, but I don't think it's going to be a dominant run defense. But when it gets a lead, when it gets a chance to run and make big plays, when the ball's in the air, it seems to be a defense with a knack for making plays, for getting the sack, for getting the turnovers. But, again, the Jets kept that game in a score scenario where they could play the way they wanted to play. And, again, so much yesterday, the darn punt. When you flip the field in that situation, it's not a play you expect.
Yeah, if the Jets don't give their punter the game ball, they're missing the point.
Right. So that's
that one's that easy.
But to your point, I still think you've seen a formula with this team that gives you hope, because the defense clearly is good enough with enough playmakers that I think it's going to win you some games, whereas in the past it was just keeping you level with teams.
Big one this week. You want to stay in first place in the AFC South. You have to go win in Pittsburgh. Although we don't know the status of Marcus Mariota's hamstring, which he left the game with, we do know the Texans look like they've got some momentum. So plenty to talk about this week. We'll be back on Friday to preview the Steelers contest, and we'll have head coach Doug Marone with us on Jags Drive Time. For Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato, Pat Cavanaugh, and John Osier, I'm Brian Sexton. Have a great Monday.